Hi everyone, it's Jenny and Lorraine back again, and we have another Sensory Matters show for you. And this week we're talking to Alice Rowe, who is the girl with the curly hair, who is totally amazing. Now Alice wasn't comfy on camera, so we did just an audio thing, but it's really interesting, so definitely worth a listen. Lorraine, what's happening this week in the groups and the page?
As always, we've got a community success story. This one's from somebody anonymous, but it's great. It's about confrontation, and it just shows that we can do something when we feel that we need to. So that's a great community success story this week, although they're all brilliant. All the ones we've been getting in are amazing.
Yeah.
We're getting a review of the Kiki blanket, and that's from Stimwise over in Canada. She's amazing. She's got the most mesmerising voice, so you've got to watch it just to listen to her. We've got Jaden live in the VIC and Bernadette doing Makaton. Everybody's loving the Free Realm ring that come out in April with the VIC subscription. So if you're not a VIC subscriber, you really, really, really want to get in for the month of April.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm pretty sure for the month of May, we'll have our big reveal on other benefits as well. So
yeah,
worth signing up,
aren't we?
Yeah, we are. It's just all go at the moment. Brilliant. Right. So we'll have a listen to Alice and then we'll have a chat after and see what we think.
Yeah.
We love Annette, we love a chat, we love to help, and that's a fact. So we have made it our mission to find stuff out. From diagnosis and education, slimming out of pure frustration, chat to folks who've been there too, collect it together and share it with you. If you know someone we should speak to, send them our way, and that's what we'll do. We like to have our sensory natters. You know what?
Hello everyone, it's Jenny again, back with another Sensory Matters show, and today I'm really excited to have Alice Rowe with us, and I'm sure lots of you know who Alice is. So she is the girl with the curly hair, and she runs the Curly Hair Project. So thank you very much, Alice, for taking the time to speak to us today. I wanted to introduce you first by getting to know you a bit, and I know that you happen to have a story about a strange tan that you once acquired. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
I think you asked me the wrong question.
Oh, have I?
Yeah.
What should I have asked you?
About the carrots?
Yes, sorry, I just phrased it wrongly. So I'll rephrase that and say, so Alice, can you tell me the story that you've got about carrots?
Yeah. So I go through phases of eating the same thing in big quantities and like regularly. So at one time in my life, I was eating lots and lots of carrots, and people started commenting that had I been on holiday because I was looking tanned, and I had no idea what they were talking about, as I hate going on holiday and like I never go away. And I didn't even notice the colour of my own skin. But their comments like made me look at myself a bit later, and I told my mom. I said, people have been saying my skin looks orange, does it look orange to you? And we kind of understood that it was all the beta carotene in the carrots that had been discolouring my skin.
Wow.
So everyone thought I'd been going to all these hot places abroad, but I'd just been indulging in carrots.
That's brilliant. And who knew that eating so much carrots could actually do that? That's fabulous. Do you still eat as many carrots?
No, not now. That phase is over.
Okay. Well, great. Now, I know that you're very interesting in that basically you had a very late diagnosis. You're a female on the spectrum, and now you run the Curly Hair Project. And so for me, you've gone from having a chemistry degree, you've done a master's, you do web design, you do loads of different stuff. So how on earth do you fit it all in? What's your favourite? And how did you end up going from a chemistry degree to where you are now?
So with regards to chemistry, I was just really good at that subject and I really liked it. So it was just the natural fit for me to study that at university. I chose it more because it was the obvious choice, and I knew it would probably give me a lot of opportunities and career possibilities because it was a science. Not really because I wanted to be a chemist, because I didn't know what I wanted to do when I was 18.
Not many people do.
The web design and internet marketing work have all just been self-taught. I really like computers and I'm good with them, and I work from home, so it's all fitted well with my introverted personality and like my needs for routine and a lot of solitude. So I fit it all in because I like working and I have achieved a very routine and regular life. Like, to me, the natural medication for anxiety and depression is routine and keeping things the same.
Okay.
So if I always have lots of work to do, then I always have a purpose and there's always something to be doing. And I think because of my executive function impairments, I have just had to become very efficient at doing things.
Yeah, I can imagine. So that makes a lot of sense, having a routine and sticking to it. And then that allows you to manage all these different things.
Yeah, and I think because I do exactly the same thing every single day, you know, I don't have to do any extra thinking. I know exactly what I'm doing all the time. Like, everyone says that I am like the master of the set of tameness.
Yeah. But if that works, then it works, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you find things like today when it's a bit different?
Because obviously I have to work a lot harder and it just feels all new and different. I don't know, just like talking like this and just conversation generally is like really hard work for me.
Yeah, well, I'm thrilled that
you're very unpredictable.
Yes, well, I'm just thrilled that you've given us the chance to do it, so thank you. So I know that you didn't get diagnosed until quite late, age 22. How come? Why so late?
I think that's not very uncommon. I think a lot of girls are diagnosed late, especially those in my sort of age range. Like, autism wasn't really known too much when we were at school, so I think that's quite a common thing. I think a lot more people are diagnosed earlier now. But anyway, I just got by and no one really thought anything was wrong with me because I was really hardworking. I did really well with my schoolwork. I was just really shy and everyone just thought I was very, very shy.
Okay.
And obviously, like, now I know that I had a lot of communication difficulties. So even though I might have been feeling really anxious and terrified and finding life really hard and confusing inside, I wasn't really able to communicate that.
Right. Yeah.
And like many other girls, like with masking, so I probably looked fine on the outside, but I had a lot of thoughts and feelings inside.
Yeah, that must have been hard. And has diagnosis made a big difference to you?
Yes, it's made a big difference in terms of understanding myself a lot more. It's very frightening feeling that there's something wrong with you. Yeah. And going through your whole life, finding things a lot harder than everyone else and not enjoying the same things as everyone else. So to kind of understand that has been really empowering and comforting. And I have better friendships now because people understand me more and I understand my own needs more. And I have a better working life because my employers have made reasonable adjustments for me.
Yeah, okay. So definite benefit to being diagnosed then. A lot of people I've spoken to have said that. It's like a big relief almost to know that there's a reason, and then be able to put steps in place to aid your life and make it less terrifying, I suppose.
So definitely. I think there's some comfort as well just reading information about autism and being able to relate to it. But until you actually have your diagnosis, you can't really go around telling people that you definitely have autism and that, you know, you need to make reasonable adjustments for me and things like that.
Yeah, so it allows you to have those conversations, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
It just feels a bit more authentic.
Yeah, absolutely. And so life before diagnosis, obviously difficult with all these internal feelings.
Yeah. By the way, I don't think it should be that way. I don't think that, I wish it wasn't that people needed to have a diagnosis so that kind of people were more understanding and took them more seriously. But sadly, that is the way life currently is.
I know.
If you see what I'm saying.
I do completely see what you're saying. And part of what we're trying to do with these interviews and things is help knowledge of this, so that maybe one day we can change the world and people are just accepting of people regardless of whether they have a condition or not.
Definitely. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Yeah. So before diagnosis, life was very confusing, very isolating, and just very frightening. Like, I can't explain how terrifying it is to be around everyone and just not being able to relate to anyone.
Yeah, I can't even begin to imagine how terrifying that is.
Yeah.
So how did autism affect your time at university?
In some ways, it was a bit better than school because everyone was a bit more relaxed and people are kind of a bit more unique at university. Everyone, it's all really about individuality anyway, but like the normal things, the environment was too busy. We had very big classes and lectures, sometimes up to 200 people were in the room, so that was quite hard. I think practical work has always been really difficult for me because not just using my hands is difficult to actually do things practically, but remembering the steps to carry out an experiment and interpreting instructions, I find that really difficult.
Yeah.
There's a quote I have, whereas like, if you're not like, if you don't have common thoughts, you don't have common sense. So everyone else can interpret an instruction because it was written in the way their brain processes things. But if their brain doesn't process things in that way, then those instructions don't make sense at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also we had to mix with other subject classes in practical work. So I was doing chemistry, but sometimes we had to mix with biology students or biomedical students. So working with people that I didn't know was really anxiety provoking.
Yeah, I can imagine. But then you went on to do a master's and you achieved it. So you should be very, very proud, you know, that you've
Yeah,
done.
Jenny, I'm really happy. I think I've worked really hard, like academically.
Yes.
And I think I feel really pleased with what I went through because only now I realise how stressed I must have been.
Yes.
But yeah. I still did it anyway. But it's only now I really appreciate how difficult it was for me because I know I have autism.
Yes. But yeah,
it's a bit weird because I'm not even sure I could even go to university again, if you see what I mean.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, just hold on to that pride because it's well deserved.
Thank you.
And what about your family when you were diagnosed? How did they respond?
Oh, fine. I think we all knew I had it well before I got my diagnosis, so it wasn't a surprise.
Okay.
And my parents are really easygoing and, like, very structured and
very
just really adaptive to me anyway.
Good. Fantastic. And was there a particular trigger that made you pursue diagnosis?
Probably because even though I had been reading about autism for many years beforehand and being able to relate to it, I think because I feel emotionally very young, I don't think I really understood what a diagnosis would mean.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't really understand that at all. I didn't have that understanding.
Yeah.
So I just finally began to understand like the doors it could open and sorry, I'm making mistakes.
No, there are no mistakes. It's fine. Yeah, so diagnosis made you realise that you could access, I guess, tools to make your life easier, I suppose.
Yes, and I didn't quite appreciate that fact before.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, it was a confirmation why my life had been so difficult, and that's very, very comforting. To have that confirmation. And there just came a point where I just got tired of making excuses for the way I was. As I said to you before, it's such a shame that when you say something like, I'm too tired to socialise, or that environment is a bit too busy for me, people don't really take you seriously.
Yes.
So, but being able to say I have ASD, it's a reason now, and I think people understand it a bit more and take it less personally and take it more seriously.
Yes, yeah. It is because people only process what is common and what they know. I did another one of these interviews with the lady that does stickman communications. Do you know them?
I've heard of that, yes.
Okay, so she has these cards, and she found that having information written on a card, like if she said something to someone, because she has a muscular disability that means she sometimes collapses, but if she said to someone, "Don't pick me up," they would automatically rush and pick her up and they wouldn't listen to her. But somehow having a card that said, "Don't pick me up," people responded totally differently. So I find it interesting that, you know, you could say to your friend, "I'm too tired to socialize," and they go, "Oh, come on, let's just go." Whereas having a card or being able to say, "Well, I have ASD and therefore I am," it's interesting that that changes how people respond.
Yes, you've just given the perfect example. That's exactly what I mean.
Yes. Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. Okay, so is there anything, what's the best thing about being on the spectrum? Is there anything good about it?
Not really. I honestly don't see there's many good things. I think there are good things, but I think living in a world where the majority of people are not makes it very hard. So it's just, you know, the way the world is set up, obviously it's made to suit the majority.
Yeah.
So it's already at a natural disadvantage.
Yeah.
So it is very hard. I think one good thing, and I think this is a gift, is that I think I'm more content than most people ever are.
Okay.
Because I'm so content with my routine and having things the same, I don't go seeking for new or different things. So to me, the grass is never greener.
Yeah.
I believe I have found and can achieve contentment easier than most people.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because a lot of people are always pursuing the next exciting thing and looking for the next big buzz.
Another example of that would be maybe like a friend saying to you, "Why don't you come out tonight? Let's go and do something fun." But if I'm already very content at home doing what I want, I'm not seeking that because I already have it.
Yes.
And I get a lot of peace from having that sort of existence.
Yes. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I also think one of the things that you can look at in hindsight as being an amazing thing is the resilience it will have built in you as an individual.
Certainly.
Is something that, you know, not everyone will have because of your experiences.
That's a really good one. And I definitely agree. I think many people on the spectrum have had to become extremely resilient.
Yes.
And it's a very, very good trait to have.
Yes, absolutely. So conversely then, what's the worst thing about being on the spectrum?
I think it's what I said before about feeling very isolated and just being very aware that you are different whenever you're with people.
Yeah.
Especially groups of people. I can sometimes feel lonely when I'm alone, but I feel far more lonely when I'm around others. And I think that's quite an interesting thing to get your head around.
Yeah.
And it's a very sad way to exist, but at least I understand and accept it now. Since incorporating more alone time into my life, I feel less lonely than I ever did. I would also really love to have empathy with other people, for example, to like the same things as them, or to not get stressed by things that they like doing. Yeah. And I'd love to feel more connected with people, but generally I can't, and I'm not able to relate. So having such a lack of empathy is really difficult, even though I would like to have it, I just don't.
Yeah. Yeah, but then I've just thought of another amazing thing about being on the spectrum is the level of self-awareness. There are people that wouldn't be on the spectrum that don't have the same level of awareness as you.
Because, yes, but it's not always a good thing, is it?
No, it can sometimes be a torment and a battle, but I think self-awareness is underrated and overlooked. And the fact that you know yourself so well, there are many people that don't know themselves that well. So I think that's a positive.
I agree, and I think that fits in with what we said about me knowing what makes me happy and content.
Totally, yeah.
Which is a good thing. Yeah. There was something else I was going to say. Oh yeah, but on another side, I always find this quite funny, because I think about the mind and thoughts and feelings a lot, as you can tell from my work.
Yeah.
But as you say, so many people do not. They just don't have that level of thought. It doesn't even occur to them to think that way.
Yeah.
So that can also be slightly isolating as well, because sometimes people just don't really know what you're talking about or don't really want to know.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes total sense. So do you think the language that we use around autism is important?
I find this quite difficult to answer.
Okay.
I'm not really too keen when I hear the general public say people suffering from autism. Like when they talk about autism on the radio, I often hear presenters say, "Do you suffer from autism?"
Mm.
I'm not sure why. I think although it is a very challenging condition, it sort of implies a person is feeling sorry for someone.
Yes.
Many people actually think autism isn't a problem at all, and rather society is the problem. You've probably come across that.
Yeah.
With regards to the words like Asperger's, Aspie, person with ASD, autistic person, I don't really care. Yeah. I think my one concern with the word Asperger's is that people tend to think it means a person's problems are mild,
mm-hmm.
and that they are just a bit quirky rather than they might be severely impaired like I am.
Yeah, I think that is a common misunderstanding, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's almost, I've heard some people be almost like quite pleased to say, oh, so-and-so's got Asperger's, as if it's quite cool because it must mean they, you know, it goes back to the whole Rain Man myths and all those other things as well.
Yes, and I think, as you said, there's some stereotypes about Asperger's, and also they think someone must be gifted or things like that.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
But I think I'm really proud of my work, and I hope it just opens people's eyes to just a different way of being and thinking about things a bit differently.
Yes. No, it definitely does. So talking about your work then, tell us about the Curly Hair Project and how it came to be.
It's a social enterprise helping people on the spectrum and the people around them. I set it up firstly because there wasn't much information about autism and adult females when I was diagnosed. Yeah. So I saw there was a need. And I think also it was a way for me to learn and understand more about myself.
Mm-hmm.
So the Curly Hair Project has really been a bit of a personal journey of understanding and self-development.
Yeah.
So as well as being massively supportive to other people, it's also really helped me as well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so bigger dreams and ambitions for the Curly Hair Project. What's your dream for it?
That's a very vague question. I want people to question how they see the world and appreciate that not everyone sees the world in the same way.
Yeah.
As we talked about before, I want people to reduce the number of assumptions they make.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has expectations and makes assumptions, whether or not we mean to, but I think we should be aware that we are doing this.
Yeah.
And I want to do lots of things. Something I feel really strongly about is I want to get more ASD adults into work. So that's a big project that's on my agenda.
Brilliant. Sounds really exciting. I think you're doing great stuff with it. Now, some of the books you've written a few, and I've seen lots of reviews saying how wonderful they are. And one of the quotes is Alice Rowe, best author on ASD out there, which is amazing. So what makes your stuff so different?
I think the thing that's been brought to my attention the most is that my work is very much about everyone working together. I think a lot of autism literature and education that's available is very much about making the world adapt to fit in with the ASD person.
Yeah.
And I think you'll find that's quite a common thing in terms of disabilities. It's always about how to support the disabled person.
Yeah.
But my work, like something that I feel very strongly about and that drives me, is that the person needs to be able to self-manage,
mm-hmm.
and they need to learn how to adapt to the world around them as well.
Yeah.
So I think that's what makes my work really different. It's about giving people strategies that they can live and have a happy life in the world that we live in.
Yes.
Yeah. It also work, obviously, I also work and want to help families and the people around them adapt a bit, but it's very two-way.
Yeah, I think it has to be, because if you're waiting for the world to change, you're going to be waiting a long time, so you need to...
We are not responsible for other people's behaviour, but we can change our own.
Yes, absolutely. So out of the books you've done, which is the best book you've written, do you reckon?
People really like my autobiography. There's a lot of positive Amazon reviews about that, and that makes me very proud and very happy.
So you should be. Brilliant. Now, I notice a lot of your work has these sort of cartoons and thought bubbles where...
I say one more thing? Sorry.
Yes, of course, please.
I'd really like to say something about teaching how to apply the theory.
Yeah, so tell us about that then.
So another thing that makes Curly Hair Project work different, I think, is that it really teaches people how to apply the theory that they know about autism. For example, you would think that people who work in healthcare, like GPs and nurses, would know a bit about autism, and they do, but in my experience, most of them only tend to know about the theory. Yeah. They can't apply that information to when they see an autistic patient.
Yeah.
But for example, I went to see a nurse a few weeks ago, and she wasn't on time. The appointment was late. She held my hand and looked straight in my eyes. I feel that someone like that should know a bit more.
Yes.
But that's just one example of all the experiences I've had.
Yeah.
In many places.
Yeah, so giving people the skills to how to make someone feel more comfortable if they have autism. So, you know, avoiding that touch and not forcing eye contact, etc. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
It's all very well to teach someone that, you know, a person with autism doesn't like touch or has problems with socialising, but then if she reads that and then goes and does that anyway, what's the point, really?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, so moving on to your books, we've spoken about how your autobiography is loved, and that's probably because you're telling your story and a lot of people will be able to relate to parts of that, I would imagine. So you also include a lot of cartoons with thought bubbles, and you can see the kind of inner thought process. So is that a constant conflict against what comes out of your mouth and what's in your head?
Yeah, I think something that's really unique and different and really powerful about my work is that I use cartoons and they show what's going on in a person's head and what's coming out of their mouth.
Yeah.
So I think it highlights that what people are thinking might not necessarily be what they say. Yeah. And it really highlights how different autistic thought processes can be.
Yes.
Or not just autistic processes, I mean, anyone's really, because we're all unique.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, okay. So obviously your main area of passion is females and autism, based on your own experience. How does it present differently? Does it present differently?
I'm undecided on that answer. I'm not sure it's different.
Okay.
My only conclusion, I think, is that females are more prone to hiding their autism, and that it might be more obvious in males, but I'm not really sure it's different otherwise.
Okay, so you think it's the same, similar traits, characteristics and things might be there, but girls mask it?
Yeah, that's what I think.
Okay. And is there anything that most people don't know about female autism?
Probably that there are lots and lots of women and girls who have it with and without a diagnosis. It's not a male phenomenon.
Yeah. Yeah, which is still a lot of people do believe that, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what about any myths around female autism that are completely wrong?
I can't think of anything specifically for females right now, but I think there are a lot of myths around autism generally, such as a person can't be sociable, they can't have empathy, they can't make eye contact, they sit in the corner and rock, they flap, those sorts of things. They're all myths.
Yeah. Yeah, although some of those might be part of someone, but not the whole part, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Obviously, some people will be that way, but yeah, some people won't be. I think something I really want my work to highlight is that everyone is a unique individual.
Yeah.
And a lot of behaviours and thoughts someone have are really to do with their personality as well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That makes sense. So if there was, can you offer any tips for other females that are thinking about going and pursuing diagnosis or questioning their place in the world and thinking, is there something, you know, that I need to get checked out?
As explained previously, even though a healthcare professional might have read the theory about autism, they might not know how to apply that. So be aware that you might have to talk a bit about your masking.
Yeah.
So make sure you have an understanding GP.
Yes.
Read a lot of books about females and autism, if not for your own comfort, but also to take to the doctors with you.
Yeah.
So you can relate your experiences with those in a book.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. I'm sure that'll be, there's some useful tips. So, and what would you say are the biggest challenges that women on the spectrum tend to face?
I think a lot of people don't believe our condition because a lot of the time we just look okay.
Yeah.
And as explained before, we also tend to say we're okay a lot as well.
Yes. Yeah. And have you, do you try not do that now that you have a more of an awareness?
I always try not to. I try far more to be myself because it's really the only way you can ever build relationships with people.
Yes.
But it is hard because it all depends who you're talking to as well. I think a lot of people in the world think they have empathy, but so many people are not empathetic. I think that's actually a very rare trait to have.
Yeah.
So it all depends on who you're talking to and if they're receptive to what you're saying, because some people have the ability to allow you to be yourself and not mask, whereas others, you won't be able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense. Okay, you'll be pleased to know, last question, but I'd like our audience to go away with a tip for managing the challenges of being autistic and female. So, yeah, what would your tip be for them to take out into the world?
I don't think I've answered your question correctly. Can we rephrase the question?
Yeah, of course. I think you have answered it correctly, have actually. I? Yeah. Okay. I think I'd put three tips. You've given me one, but one's fine. So
is mine about challenges, though? Or shall I say it anyway?
Yeah, say it. It's fine.
I do think it is important to tell people about your condition. Even if they don't believe you, I think you've at least done a tiny bit in making someone in the world a bit more aware of autism, and that does contribute to society.
Yeah, so that makes a lot of sense. So what you're saying is that don't be frightened to tell people. Your tip for managing those challenges is being open about the fact you have a condition and how it affects you, which not just benefits the rest of the world, it will benefit that person, because then it will help build relationships and their friends can understand their behaviour a bit more and accept it a bit more.
I think definitely. And I think, you know, even if you tell someone who may have their own preconceptions about what autism is, and maybe if they don't believe you or they don't take you seriously, but in a few years' time, when things are different, or when they come across someone who's a bit similar to me who told them, yeah, they might change their mind and think, oh yeah, I understand it a bit more now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's really a really valuable tip. That's been brilliant. I have very much enjoyed talking to you. It's been really
good. Thanks so much, Jenny.
No, it's been really awesome. Thank you. So, what did you reckon, Lorraine?
I think Alice is amazing. We've got quite a lot of her books, actually. Jamie loves them, the comic books and the autobiography, particularly Jamie's favourite. And I find that Alice reminds me a lot of Jamie.
In what way?
It's hard to describe, but a lot of people remind me of Jamie, but I don't know if it's the way she talks or the way she feels about autism. I just see a lot of Jamie in Alice.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was fascinating, really good. And next week, it's you and I, we're talking about the challenges of autism and puberty.
Yeah.
So that is one of these topics that isn't really spoken about a lot, but I know you have lots of hints and tips that we'll be able to share with everyone, which may help.
Yeah, and that'll be for girls.
Yes. Just,
yeah.
Yeah, for girls, absolutely. Fab. Okay. So as Lorraine said at the start, if you're not a VIC yet, do it this month because you'll get a free orange realm ring, which you can't get on the website normally. So they're kind of limited edition. So go to the website and sign up. Or if you get stuck with that, give Lorraine, Pippa or myself a shout and we shall help. And that's it for this week. So we'll see you all next week.
Bye.
Bye. You know what?